Welcome to the Radio 191 FM podcast.
She has recently authored a book called Turbulent Threads, which investigates Otepoti in the 1890s through the character Greer Gillies, who is a lass who is recently orphaned and has to work out at Lanark Castle. It's a book full of romance as well as a historical investigation of Otepoti in those days. And she's launching an event at Lanark Castle in conjunction with the Readers and Writers Festival to celebrate this book and provide a curated experience to see what Dunedin was like back in the day. It's Karen McMillan here, joining me from Tamaki Makaurau. How are things with you, my friend Karen?
Really good, and I'm really excited to be coming to Dunedin. It's one of my favourite places in the country, so I can't wait to get on a plane tomorrow and be there.
I think it bodes well for someone who's not obsessed with the old world, but who you know, enjoys looking at old things.
Well, I love history and, like, you know, the sense of people, the place, the times. And I think Turbulent Threads, as you hinted, is set in the 1890s, which is such an exciting time in New Zealand. And I don't think people realise how kind of fundamental it is to our society now. So a lot of the laws we take for granted that are fundamental to society, they were passed in that era. And, of course, women got the vote, you know, the first country in the world to do that. So I was trying to capture in this book, like, the excitement of what it would be like to be a young woman living in that time.
I want to talk about that very shortly, but before we do that, I want to touch on your history in Dunedin. Did you study here? Are you originally from here?
My husband is born and bred in Dunedin, and my dad used to work for Hallensteins, and the head office used to be down in Dunedin. So as a family, we'd often go down to head office. So I wasn't born in Dunedin, but we certainly had lots of trips when I was a young girl down there.
Oh, that's
so I've always loved
that's
it.
That's sick. That's so sick.
Yeah, I know. It's cool, eh? And I just think over the years, I've visited Lanark's Castle quite often. So it's always kind of like, it's a great fertile ground for a writer. Setting something there is incredible.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. Now, you've described your book as a passionate tale of freedom and love in Victorian Dunedin. How much passion and love was there to be had in Victorian Dunedin? Was there quite a fair amount?
I think in any society, there's always going to be, you know, love, romance, you know, people getting together romantically. So, and of course, you know, New Zealand was very different from Britain at the time. So, for example, I was researching my character and, like, what she could do and couldn't do. So she's a servant working in a castle. She's not going to have a chaperone when she goes out on dates, you know, with your suitors. So it's quite a different kind of scenario than maybe a young woman in Britain at the time or even America.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of another book that came out semi-recently about Julia Eichardt in Queenstown.
Oh, yes, familiar? Yes, I read it. I really enjoyed it. She's great novel.
It seems like there's quite
So I just think that book, again, it's a fairly strong woman, isn't it? So, and these pioneering women, I guess, you know, like, life wasn't, you know, we've got all these modern comforts now, which weren't the case back then.
Mm-hmm, totally. Now, Greer Gillies, the main character, originally hails from the Devil's Half Acre, which is an area around Carroll Street, modern-day Carroll Street. It used to be kind of a black market area that's been described as sort of a hive of crime and debauchery where anything can be bought. You've defended this area saying, you know, while it was some of that, it was also a diverse area with Scottish, Irish people, Chinese people and Lebanese people living side by side. What did you learn about this area when researching for this book, and why choose it for the birthplace of the main character?
So this was an aha moment when I was doing my research, and when I discovered, like, you know, as you were saying, in the 1860s in the gold rush era, it was, you wouldn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. It was a, you know, den of iniquity. But in the 1890s, of course, there was all these new immigrants that were living side by side, and I just loved the multicultural aspect of that. So my heritage, you know, I've got Danish, which isn't in the book, but Scottish and Irish, but, you know, the Lebanese and the Chinese, and they're all living side by side, supporting each other, and that really appealed to me as a writer. So I thought, yeah, of course Greer's going to be living there with her father at the time before he passes away. So, and you find in the book, it's mainly set in Lanark Castle, but we return to Devil's Half Acre quite often as an integral part of the plot.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting when you're making a book like this, because it's not like you're looking at history as though it's a series of dates and times. You're looking through archives to figure out the social history. What are the norms and customs like? And you can't talk to anyone from that time, obviously, because they're all dead.
No.
Was it tricky trying to figure out what the social history of Dunedin was like back then?
It was a lot of research, and a lot of it was quite surprising, just how it's the multicultural side of it that really, really I was really interested in, and how integrated everything was. So we've got Charles Su Hoi, a famous Chinese businessman, but he was quite integrated into the European society, and he married a European woman. He's a cameo in the book, and just the interrelation and help these new immigrants helping each other, I found really inspiring.
For sure. It's a very, very inspiring tale, eh? You mentioned before that it's kind of a sea change difference between 1880 to 1890 for women as they fought for and won the right to vote in Aotearoa, New Zealand. There's also a number of other women's freedoms that sort of manifest themselves in Otipoti around that time as the university started to admit women. There was the first ever girls' high school made in the South Hemisphere in Dunedin. How else did women enjoy new freedoms and privileges in 1890s? Dunedin.
So that's the key thing, isn't it? Like, Greer has these opportunities that her mother's generation never had. So you've just mentioned being educated. Well, women can also go into business. So I don't want to do a spoiler with the book, but, you know, I can say that Greer doesn't remain a servant, and she follows some dreams that her mother's generation certainly couldn't have done. So I think in this 1890s, women could do more than just raising a family and getting married. So there's many, many more opportunities, which, you know, we can think that's a little bit maybe historic, but you can look at women around the world now, and a lot of women live very oppressed lives in some nations in the world, so we can't take any of this for granted.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree with that. Completely agree with that. As you mentioned before, in our corridor, she's orphaned in her early 20s as her father dies, and she becomes a servant at Larnach Castle. Now, nowadays, Larnach Castle is sort of a tourist attraction. It's an explorable antique. What was it to Victorian Dunedin, and how did the people working there get treated?
So from what I can understand, they were treated very well. The Larnach family were very generous to the staff that worked there. Of course, there was a farm there, and there was more than just servants. So, you know what I mean? It was a whole community of people working there. Mm-hmm. And I think the community, Dunedin itself, were very proud of it. That you had this politician that, you know, invested money into building this, and he used a lot of local people as well as importing materials. But people were proud of it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool to hear, man. That's really, really cool to hear. Aptly, your book event for the Dunedin Readers and Writers Festival is going to be happening at Larnach Castle. We have curated a sort of Victorian experience. Now, someone told me that you were trying to find people to do Victorian hairdos. Is that true?
Well, I am going to make a bit of an effort. I have got a Victorian costume I'm going to wear. I'm going to go all out. Mm-hmm. So it's actually an ex-TVNZ costume that a friend found. So I'll wear that. I don't know about my hair. We'll figure that out.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'll do my best. But I'm really excited about this event because the amazing Patty Richardson, a local author, is going to be in conversation with me. It's going to be fancy. It's champagne and canapes, and, you know, we're going to get a bespoke tour of the castle that's related to the book, and I'll be in conversation. So it's not going to be boring. It's going to be a lot of fun and entertaining and hopefully insightful as well.
Man, does Larnach Castle have any, I guess, like on-site historians or archivists that you can talk to about the castle, or like talk to family about it?
So the people that do the tour guides are so knowledgeable. So even if you don't make this event, definitely go through, because you're going to learn so much about the family, the period, the history. Mm. And, of course, William Larnach, I don't want to give too much away, but his life did end in tragedy. And I very deliberately put my central character, Greer, with his story in the background. So it's actually all about her, but his story counterpoints her story.
Mm. What's your favourite part of Larnach Castle, like in terms of the area?
Oh, the gardens. The gardens are absolutely divine. And I very deliberately, when you read the book, you discover that Greer plays the violin. Mm-hmm. And she picks the spot with the little pergola that's got views of the peninsula, and that's where she plays. And I deliberately picked it that you can go and stand there. It's absolutely stunning.
Fantastic. I like how the gardens are arranged kind of almost mathematically in some areas. It's really like the angles on some of the hedges and some of the kind of gardenscapes are pretty magnificent, aren't they?
They are, absolutely. So anyone who loves gardens will just enjoy that. But also ballroom. I think the ballroom's a standout at Larnett Castle, isn't it?
To be honest, I haven't been through Larnett Castle properly for probably a decade or so now. I really should brush up my knowledge. Yeah,
you must go, because within a decade now, all the rooms are dressed so well, so you really feel like you're stepping back in time. So that's the big difference, is like all this detail that's there. And like, for example, they've even got the wedding set gift, the dinner set, that was given to William and Constance for their wedding day. So that's on display in the dining room. So like, there's all this, these period details there.
Fantastic. Well, it'll be a Victorian fanatics dream, that sounds like.
Absolutely. But anybody interested just in a bit of history, or just like a nice evening out with a bit of champagne and canapes, why not? It's going to be a really fun evening, so I hope people will tune up.
And they can find tickets at what, Larnett Castle's website?
Yeah, Larnett Castle, just drop on that website and you can book tickets. Yep.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining me on the program, Karen. I really appreciate it.
Oh,
do you have any final words or thoughts?
Oh, gosh. Look, I encourage people to read my book, Turbulent Threads. There's so many great books in this Dunedin Writers Festival, so I'm very happy to have this invitation. But yeah, if you do like an historical novel, I think you'll enjoy this, Following Greer on a Decade's Journey.
Awesome. Sounds fantastic, mate. Thank you for coming on the program, and I wish your travel to be very safe.
Lovely. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you, man. All right, folks, that was Karen McMillan, the author of Turbulent Threads, an investigation of love and romance and Ōtepoti in the 1890s, not the 1980s. That's a whole different time period.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.